This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
PC and B Scott in for John and Reg in the Loop. Happy New Year, everybody. One more hour of us. And then we get to do things like go home and watch college football and eat and enjoy the fact that the Houston Astros have gone and made a big splash on New Year's Day. Happy New Year to all Astros fans everywhere.
How much better do you feel about the Astros' place in the overall American League landscape, starting with the AL West and then the American League at large?
I feel like if they don't get buried by injuries like last year, they win the division. I feel like if Yordan doesn't miss 100 games last year, they win the division. And they didn't make the playoffs by a tiebreaker. Like, they had the same number of wins as Tigers. They just lost the tiebreaker. If Yordan plays 100 games, do you think they win 4 more games? 5 more games?
Yeah, I would say probably. Also, you know, and I don't think Yordan's going to miss 100 games again.
But
we are at the point, and it's speaking to your please baby Jesus response there, we are to the point to where we have to be legitimately concerned about Yordan's health, his availability, and how reliable he is exactly. We know how great he is. Greatest, probably the best left-handed hitter in the American League when he's healthy. But if he's not healthy, and he hasn't been quite a bit, then that's going to be an obvious problem.
Yeah, and we also need the Astros not to do dumb things like play Yordan Alvarez with a broken hand for a month before realizing, oh, he's hurt. We probably shouldn't play him. And then try to get him back in the cage with a broken hand that you never took an x-ray of because, well, I don't know, you're stupid. I don't quite know how a team that is as analytically forward-thinking and has the ability to maximize player performance the way the Astros do can be so absolutely inept when it comes to injuries, when it comes to rehabilitation, when it comes to return to play procedures, how they can be so freaking terrible at it. Because it's not like, hey, this is something that's new. This is something that has plagued them now through 3 administrations.
Yeah.
This was under Luno, this was under Click, and it's very much been under Dana Brown. It hasn't mattered who the GM is. They have these issues. They need to get it right. But a returning Yordan, a full season of Carlos Correa, who definitely appears to be rejuvenated, A, being in Houston, and B, being at third base. You hope to get a better season from a healthier Jose Altuve. You hope to see improvement in some of the young players like Cam Smith, Zach Cole. You know, there's, you certainly hope to see the improvement continue in guys like Jeremy Pena. And if he's still here, Isak Paredes.
Yeah.
If he's still here, you hope you see second half Christian Walker. He of the 799 OPS and not first half Christian Walker. He of the bad oblique and can't swing a bat. So there is optimism where there is certainly questions, but there is at least optimism offensively. And hence why I think that with the addition of Ime and the addition of Burrows, the signing of Weiss, bringing in a guy like Nate Pearson, who was a former high pick that maybe a change of scenery will do him good. They may now have the ability to trade from some of this major league starting pitching depth to go get a thumper bat for the outfield. Ideally, who would play left field?
Yeah.
And improve the offense now that you've improved the pitching. I also, I know bullpen is something Dana Brown has talked about. I would like to see them get another quality bullpen arm, a seventh inning type guy, because I think you have to be at least wary of the idea that Josh Hader had a sprained shoulder capsule. So not a full tear, but certainly did damage to his shoulder capsule. And now you must be prepared that if something goes sideways for him again, we saw when Hader got hurt last year, that was kind of the nail in the coffin. The Astros could no longer overcome the plethora of injuries because they no longer had that lockdown back end of the bullpen, which essentially was Bennett Sousa, Brian Abreu, Josh Hader. Hader went down. And then, like, not even 2 weeks later, Sousa went down. And the bullpen became Brian Abreu and dudes.
Yeah.
I think they need one more quality setup type arm in the bullpen.
Do you think that Nate Pearson could be that? That, like, when you talk about the change of scenery, a former high pick, that's somebody that I'm kind of looking at. I'm honestly not sure exactly what to expect from Nate Pearson at all. Like, I know he's on the team. I don't know where he fits. I don't know what his role is. I've got no idea. But in terms of pedigree and potential, I feel like that's a spot. And this could be a little bit of hopium as well of just like, hey, you need a guy. This sounds like it could be a guy. But that's something that I'm watching that I've got an eye out for is could Nate Pearson be your seventh inning guy? If and that, again, is if Josh Hader is healthy and then you've got seven in Pearson, eight in Abreu, and nine in Hader. That's like the hope for me, but I, again, don't know what to expect from him.
No, and that's a find-out question, yeah. Right? Pearson does have relieving experience at the major league level. Last season, he only threw 14 and two-thirds innings, and his numbers are awful. The year before, well, for the first half of the year, he was in Toronto and he wasn't very good. In the second half of the year, he was with the Cubs and he was very good. I don't know what he will look like. And it's another guy that once they get him in the lab, you know, can you then maximize his stuff? Can you maximize his repertoire? Yeah. Can you make him a more effective pitcher? And yeah, he is a guy who maybe could be in the bullpen. I don't know if he can be a seventh inning guy, but he's going to get the chance to show it.
Yeah.
At the very least, and worst case scenario, he's a multi-inning reliever, long reliever, spot starter type. You know, super worst case scenario, he's you know, not on the team, but a guy that let's see. They now have enough depth where there will be competition for jobs. I would still like to see them get a little more proven guy for the seventh inning, because I think you have to hedge against the idea of Josh Hader injury.
Yeah.
You pay him too much money to not have a backup plan. And while it's great that Abreu can be your backup closer, well, who's the backup Abreu? That they don't have.
Yeah, and didn't have it last year, clearly.
And that's why, you know, when you consider the guy who was closest to that was Bennett Sousa, and as soon as he got the job, he got hurt. And And that's a guy who, you know, came back from the nerve. Well, I'm forgetting the what it's called, but the where they had to move the nerve in his arm, a thoracic outlet surgery.
Okay, yeah,
he came back from thoracic outlet surgery the year before, and then, you know, wound up with the injury again at the end of the year. So you're not sure about his ability to stay healthy. I think getting one more proven setup type guy is important for that pen. And again, if you have depth and some of these guys have to go to AAA, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
If you have depth and you can now make a deal from some of that depth, that's a good problem to have because they do need another bat. The projections that I saw for home runs for the Astros, the only guy projected to hit 30 homers is Jordan. There is a power vacuum.
Not even Christian Walker or Isak Paredes.
No, both of those guys were not at 30. They weren't even at 29. And look, when they lost Georgie now almost 6 years ago, you lost a lot of power. They never replaced it.
Certainly not in center field.
When they lost Correa, last year was the first time Jeremy Peña hit for the power of Carlos Correa in his prime. The first time. Can he do it again?
It does seem like he's found something, right? We've graduated from the just throw Jeremy Peña a slider and he won't know
it. He'll wave at it.
Yeah, we've passed that point between, and we talked about pitch selection or more so the, you know, at-bats, quality at-bats. He's someone that's done a better job at taking pitches and also between that and his batting stance has been a much improved hitter, Jeremy Peña, to his credit.
He has now realized and executed the idea of being more selective, finding pitches to drive, and then driving them.
Right.
They did not replace the power of Kyle Tucker. A lot of power they lost. Christian Walker, who was essentially brought in to replace the power of Alex Bregman, well, he replaced the power, but he didn't replace the average or the on base or the walks. And
it took forever to get there.
He struck out 100 times more than Bregman did last season. He struck out a career high 177 times. Now, even if he cuts down on the whiffs, Bregman struck out like 71 times last year. Bregman's not a big strikeout.
Yeah, he doesn't
guy.
Strike out.
So you replaced him with a high strikeout, lower average, lower on base guy. So it's been negative, 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 and finally maybe Peña is about a wash with what Correa was during his prime. And that's not to speak of, well, Alex Bregman's no longer here. So there has been a decline in power on this team, and I think that become evident when the fact that Christian Walker's leading your team in home runs, but you have 27 homers, and you play in a park that right-handed hitters should smash homers in.
Right.
So it's... there is definitely something to the idea of what can you do to increase the power. Now, can Cam Smith be better than he was last year? Maybe. Can Zach Cole hit this season the way he hit last season with the amount of power that he generated, you know, with his new swing? Maybe. I don't know, but maybe, right? There's a chance. You'd like one of those outfield positions to be, that guy's going to get me at least 26 homers. And they don't have that guy right now.
Yeah, and all of that you mentioned that they lost, not to mention specific to last year and then whatever year you want to use for the Jordan point, you lost all that power, plus your main power guy in Jordan is spotty at best when it comes to health. And, you know, last year, pencil him out for 100 games. So all of that together does equate to and make it make sense for you to be the struggling offensive team that you were, the Astros were last year.
Right, and the Astros have waffled. Now, they've done a full 180 on Jordan Alvarez because early in the offseason, it was Jordan's going to get some more time in the field. But most recently, it's Jordan's going to see a lot more time at DH because we want to keep him healthy, and he's going to see less time in the field. Well, if we think about it, you look at all Jordan's injuries. None of them have come in the field.
Yeah.
He gets hurt at the plate. He has a freak accident stepping on home plate. which, you know what? Thank God he didn't, like, just completely shatter his ankle and like, lower tibia and whatnot, because
it certainly looked like he did at the moment.
His foot was sideways.
Yeah.
And that's a 200 and generously listed 250-pound dude whose ankle is completely sideways. That's never a good look. But the hand injuries, that's the plate. The knee injuries, they weren't from running. They were just because, you know, he had knee injuries.
He even survived that collision with Pena a couple of years ago. You remember that? Where they collide, Pena's going to the outfield.
I think Pena survived that more than Jordan.
Well, I'm just saying, both of those, I would say, probably your most solidly built dudes on the team. You don't want them colliding with either.
And credit to, you know, to JP, I remember when he was first coming up from Sugarland. And that year, he had missed the first half of the year with injury. And when he came back, he had a full body transformation.
Oh, yeah.
Where he went from, and that guy's in good shape too. That dude is jacked.
Dude, I was in the clubhouse for spring training 2020. This is right before COVID shuts down the world. This is right as we're getting all of the signs still and stuff and all of that. I'm in the clubhouse in West Palm Beach. This is before we really know who Jeremy Pena is. Certainly before I knew who he was. Saw the guy walk in the clubhouse with his shirt off, and I'm like, I'm thinking he's in the wrong place. I'm like, who's this guy? That's not a baseball player. Because everybody else with their shirt off just looks like a regular guy. Slightly bigger than everybody else, but looks like regular dudes. Dude was built like an Adonis. So, yeah, I can vouch for that for sure. Haven't seen it firsthand.
All right, coming up next, you know, it's week 18. The Texans still need a win. Let's take a look at it coming up next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
P. Scott, PC in for John and Reg in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Happy New Year, everybody. Tell you what, Dana Brown gave you a Happy New Year. Bringing in Tatsuya Ime. Astros rotation now looking quite formidable. Now the Texans, who as of right now are the 5 seed in the AFC, going to Week 18, taking on a Colts team that is going to start Riley Leonard at quarterback, and his performances so far have been, say, suboptimal for them.
The Colts are basically the football team version of Lance McCullers' arm at this point. hanging by duct tape and they're out of tape.
It's week 18, but the Texans need a win. They can't just rest the starters, even though, Riley Leonard started. Did I see correctly Jonathan Taylor is not going to play this week?
I didn't see that, but I would understand it. There's really not a point. You know, it would make total sense if he didn't. Hell, if I'm Jonathan Taylor, I might maybe not demand not to play, but might whisper in the ear, you know what, my back's not feeling great. You know, it's not feeling great. Had a tough time getting out of bed this morning.
Achoo! Oh, I have a cold. I can't play.
Oh, COVID. COVID. I need
the Rona.
I need to quarantine, and that's going to take me out of the window for the game.
Somebody call Seth and Sean. I need antibodies.
Damn it. Don't we have to do that 7-day, 14-day thing? I've got the ick. I would do that.
My NFL health insurance plan does not cover Paxlovid. Can't get the antibiotics I need. But look, they still need to win. The starters can't just rest. They're going to have to get themselves a nice big fat lead in the second half before they start sitting players. And the reason being is, well, the Buffalo Bills are going to host the J-E-S-T, Jest. And the Jest, of course, are trying to tankathon, hoping and praying the Raiders will be dumb enough to win. And how great would it be the Raiders lose to the Giants so they could get in position for the number one pick, and then they win this week so they blow it? I mean, what would be more on brand for the Raiders?
On brand for the Raiders, but to be fair, on brand for football tanking. They don't do it properly, and the Raiders don't do anything properly. So that would sound about right.
So you have to win, because if you were to lose and the Bills beat the Jets, the Bills will leapfrog you because they would have more wins. And then in the 3 o'clock window, the Chargers are in Denver. And look, Denver still needs to win because they are basically in a dead heat with the Patriots for the number one seed. And only the number one seed gets the week off. And that game gets played at the same time as the Patriots hosting the Dolphins. So, you know, the Patriots have to try to win and hope Denver loses. If the Chargers were to win and the Texans were to lose, well, the Chargers will leapfrog the Texans because more wins.
Right.
So the Texans need to win so that at worst case scenario, they are equal in wins. They hold the tiebreaker over both the Bills and the Chargers because they beat both of those teams this season.
Right.
So you have to get a win. You can't just, week 18, we're going to Peyton Manning Colts this and just not play anybody week 18. They got to go for a win. Now, what is the line of demarcation? If you are DeMeco Ryans, what is the line of demarcation for you to start sitting your best players?
If I'm up by two touchdowns, not two scores, but specifically two touchdowns, let's even shorten that. And it doesn't have to be the full 14. If it's just 12, all right? If I'm up by 12 or more in the second half, I'll start resting guys. Because it is a team, and I know they were up pretty big early in the game against the Chargers and, had to kind of eke out a victory. But it is a team that is much more built to play with a lead than it is to play from behind. But I think it is one, given its conservative nature, and like offensively its conservative nature, and given their defensive dominance, I think that they get up 12 on the Colts and they're up 12 in the second half, they should need their starters to finish out that game. I mean, at least not the main ones. I'd probably lean toward resting at that point no less than half of my starters.
Interesting stat here for this particular game when it comes to resting starters. Through 17 weeks, time of possession, the Houston Texans are number 3 in time of possession.
It's their strategy. It's their approach.
The Indianapolis Colts, who have Jonathan Taylor,
sometimes when they decide to give him the ball,
25th. In time of possession.
That is inexcusable. As smart of a As smart of an offensive mind as Shane Steichen is, that is inexcusable and unexplainable. And I understand they were throwing the ball pretty well early on with Daniel Jones, but Jonathan Taylor, especially before things kind of went south for them, was having an MVP caliber year. The idea that you could have a top three running back in the game and be that far down in time of possession is absurd to me. Absurd.
Here is a crazy thing to me. Teams with negative time, negative time possession, right? That are playoff or potential playoff teams. Green Bay Packers, 20th. Seattle Seahawks, 22nd. Baltimore Ravens, 23rd. Pittsburgh Steelers, 30th. 30th!
So bad.
Dude, I so want to play the Steelers. I want to play the Steelers. I want to end Aaron Rodgers' career. And I want to bury it. I want to blow him out. I want to win 42-0.
Yeah, look, I'd love the opportunity to do it. I wouldn't shed a tear if the Ravens just did it themselves for me. Now, this is kind of more speaking to, you know, our conversation is more speaking to who do you want the Texans to play. And so if you want the Texans to play the Steelers, then you would like to kind of prolong that. And then you have the opportunity to end Aaron Rodgers, because that would also mean that you're advancing in the playoffs. We get that. But you just hit on something that I think is really key when we talk about the Texans. And I think it gets overlooked sometimes, but I'm glad you read that stat. Give it to them again, PC, on time of possession. Where do the Texans rank again in time of possession?
Third.
Not
third.
Ass.
Not All right. ass.
All right, so third in time of possession, and I'll give you this. Second in giveaways. So that's turning the ball over. They rank second in giveaways, so second best. So they give it away the second least, right? And they're third in time of possession. This is the Texans' offense. People ask about identity. When are they going to get good? What are they good at? What are their redeeming qualities? They're not a particularly explosive offense. They don't necessarily throw it great. They don't necessarily run it great. But the things that they do well, and this is really at the heart of the frustration for a lot of fans watching them. But the things that they do well, clearly now by design, we're far enough into the season, we're at the last game. Clearly by design, the things that they do well is possess the ball and then not give the ball away. So overall, play keep away, hold on to the ball for as long as you can, for as much as you can, and don't give it away. And then when you don't have the ball, rely on the best defense in all of the league.
Earlier in the year, I made the comparison to the 1990 Giants, which was the team that beat the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl by playing keep away, in that you have an elite defense, you have a good enough offense, but you're going to lean on your defense and your special teams to make plays for you. And oddly enough, teams 1, 2, 3 in time possession. Chargers, Bills, Texans. 1, 2, 3. The Bucs are 4. If the Bucs had any defense whatsoever, they would be winning their division by 4 games. But everybody throws the ball on them. They have no defense whatsoever. Patriots, Jaguars, Bears, another team that has a problem stopping the passing game. Niners, Broncos. All those teams are either in the playoffs or the Bucs have a shot.
Yeah.
And that's the top 8 teams, and that's the top 9 teams in the league in time possession.
I'm giving them no shot to lose this game.
No shot.
No shot. There's no chance that this team, given the way that we've seen them play over the last 8 weeks, loses to this version. We've already watched them beat better versions. A better version of this Colts team, and teams that are better than either version of the Colts teams that they either have played or are about to play on Sunday, there would be no excuse to do so, especially given that you still have something at least to play for.
I feel like halfway through the third quarter, the Texans will find themselves in a position where they are up close to 3 touchdowns. And with about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, that's where you'll see them start to pull the offense.
I wouldn't even be mad, PC. I told you already, I'd wait till the third quarter. And what exactly what you just said makes total sense. But I wouldn't even be mad or outraged or think that it's absurd if they were to start the game in a similar fashion as they did in Los Angeles against the Chargers, where they're up 14 in less than 5 minutes or whatever it was into the game. They do that, they should be equipped just by design. The way that they play and what their approach is and the way that this defense is set up, I wouldn't be mad if they started to do that then, at least on the offensive side. Maybe rest your quarterback. Maybe rest Will Anderson Jr. since they got edge rushers seemingly falling out of the sky. But, yeah, I wouldn't be mad if they did it as soon as they got up two scores or two touchdowns.
All right, one more segment to go. We will play the bandwagon next.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
I'm on a board. Yeah, he's been off the wagon 2 years.
Off the wagon?
I think it's off the wagon.
I think it's on the wagon.
You're back on the wagon.
Right off the wagon.
What the hell do you know about wagons?
I know enough not to get on them.
Told you. There's
lots of. It's time to get on or get off. We're going to play some bandwagon with our special guest, Brandon Scott.
How about it? Let's go.
All right. Number one, a rich guy who apparently doesn't pay his bills.
I hate those.
Send me your money.
Mickey Rourke facing eviction from his L.A. home over $60,000 in unpaid rent. Now, for those of you wondering, how does one rack up $60,000 in unpaid rent? Apparently, the 73-year-old Rourke has a rental in Beverly Grove of $7,000 a month. That being said, you do wonder about the laws in California because $60,000 in unpaid rent, that's more than 8 months of not paying rent. Here in the great state of Texas, if you didn't pay your rent for 8 months, you'd have been evicted 7 months ago.
Fair enough.
But you
still got squatters, though. You can get evicted and folks will still be in your house. Got those squatters out here, man. He has learned the squatting rules in his respective state of California.
So he owes about $60,000 in back rent. Court documents say that the notice was posted on the property and mail because no person of suitable age or discretion could be found at the home. It's a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath property described in Zillow as a nicely upgraded Spanish bungalow built in 1926. I'm looking at a picture of this thing, and it looks very much like a nondescript house pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, it looks like a house out of Breaking Bad or something.
And somehow this is $7,000 a month. Reasons not to live in California for $500.
There you go.
So this is yet another weird story in Mickey Rourke's career. Mickey Rourke was once a really hot actor in the 80s. He was in Heaven's Gate. He was in Body Heat. He was in 9 1/2 Weeks. Then he tried to be a boxer. Found that it's a lot harder than acting. But then, you know, was in Harley Davidson, The Marlboro Man, which is a cult classic. Got another cult classic role in Sin City. Then he was in Domino, which is another one of those like thriller cult classic type, the female bounty hunter. Then he got the big breakthrough in The Wrestler, where he won the Academy Award for. He's in Iron Man 2, where he's the bad guy with the whips.
Yeah.
He's in The Expendables. He's in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which is the follow-up to Sin City. And then he's into a whole bunch of movies you've never freaking heard of. But you got to believe, unless he's just a complete fool, money's not really the problem here. Therefore, the 73-year-old Rourke, if he doesn't pay up, should have to do a full year competing every Monday night on Raw as a jobber. Are you on or off the bandwagon?
I am actually off the bandwagon because I am going to defend Mickey Rourke in this situation.
Interesting.
What I'm reading here from KTLA, which is one of the Los Angeles TV, local TV news outlets out there, rent apparently was initially, you just showed me a picture of this bungalow. I mean, my God, $7,000 a month.
Dude, it's $700 a month.
Like, just that alone, I feel like he deserves defending because he was fleeced in the original market to begin with. But it was initially $5,200 a month, and rent was raised to $7,000 a month. And I don't know about you, but if they raise my rent nearly $2,000 by $1,800 a month, you might get some problems out of me too, especially if my stuff is already moved in here. You might have to go get the courts. You might have to go get the police to come get me off of my recliner. So I am off the bandwagon and I'm in full support of Mickey Rourke squatting and not giving in, standing his ground, if you will, to use a Florida reference. Standing his ground, if you will, at his spot and not paying a single cent over the $5,200. To hell with this guy.
I mean, yeah, but you heard PC. He was in a lot of
cult
classics. I don't give a damn.
I don't care if he is a gazillionaire. I don't care if he's got a gazillion. And let's be honest, that money spends pretty quickly, especially if you're dumb enough to go get a $7,000 or $5,000 a month home. That doesn't look like it should be a $5,000 a month home. Who knows what the hell this guy's been doing with his money over the last 40 years or so. Nah, man. Forget this. I'm on his side.
Here's my issue.
Okay.
And I'll get back to Colin in a second.
You're good.
If you don't want your rent to go up $1,800, don't sign a lease that allows your landlord to raise your rent $1,800.
Yeah.
If you're rich enough to afford $5,000 rent,
we're focusing on the wrong thing.
Get a lawyer.
This is broke people mentality, and I'm right here with you. I'm no richer than anybody else in this studio, but this is a broke man's mentality focusing on how much money he makes and not focusing on the person that has raised the rent. Where if you got a home that you're leasing for $5,000 a month, it's fair to assume that you're not doing so poorly financially.
See, so, I'm going to push back on the poor
hell
man.
To hell with the guy in power, and I'm on Mickey's side in this.
I'm going to push back on the poor man mentality, because this isn't a poor man mentality to me. This is a smart man, dumb man mentality. When I sign a lease, especially if I'm going to sign anything for that kind of money, you damn well better believe I've got a lawyer who's going to fine-tooth comb that thing. If you have the kind of money, and look, once upon a time I made a lot of money, just not now. You have a lawyer who double checks everything you sign so that you don't find yourself in a bad situation. I don't know how many times you've ever had to rent a property or rent a timeshare or rent a vacation home or rent a car or anything. Anytime you rent something, you know exactly how much you're paying and for how long. And until that term of that lease is up, that number can't change. And if you sign a lease that allows that number to change, you're a dumbass.
It's victim blaming. I'm sorry. I cannot abide by this.
I'm victim shaming right here because he might have victimized himself.
Nah, I can't.
What do you got, Kyle?
Cannot abide by
He's
this.
Off. I'm on. What do you got? You are the tiebreaker.
I'm on, man. Come on. I mean, I think it's pretty fun to see Mickey Rourke out there on Monday Night Raw being a jobber, having to go up against like a Roman Reigns or
Spear
or a Joe Hendry, hopefully soon.
Say his name. Hip Pierce.
I believe in Joe Hendry. But yeah, I'm on the bandwagon.
I need him to eat a GTS. I need him to get a curb stomp. I need him to get like suplexed through a table. Oh yeah, just dude. Pay your bills.
He's 73 years old,
hey,
people.
Ric Flair can do it, so can he.
Ric Flair is an actual wrestler. This guy is an actor. He could do the acting part, I'm sure. He's not Rick. He's not the Nature Boy. Come on, guys.
He's not the limousine riding, jet flying, wheeling, dealing, kiss stealing, son of a gun, who's 76 years old, by the way. One Ric Flair. Certainly somebody who belongs in the Mount Rushmore of wrestlers all time.
Let's get a coast to coast in there as well.
Yeah, yes. Get RVD, hit a coast to coast, a Van Damminator and a Van Terminator. Get them all in there. All right, number two. This might be the only one we have time for. The case of the beer cave pooper has finally been resolved.
Yeah.
This happened in the great state of Pennsylvania, where a Pennsylvania woman named Crystal Gauss, 47 years old, pled no contest to the misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct that created a hazardous and physically offensive condition after she went inside the beer cave at a Royal Farms convenience store, moved some beer around, got into the fridge, and then for some reason dropped her pants and did the old number two. She was arrested after the workers called the police to report an unknown woman had come in the previous day and number two'd in the beer cave. Her penalty for this stuff
at all? Like she had to go straight to the cooler?
Nah, she went right to the cooler. She paid a $75 fine, was ordered to pay restitution of about $80 for damages, and she's been banned from going back to the store, which is a mile from her home. Her punishment should have been to clean up all the doggy doo in every public area in her town every day for a year, on or off the bandwagon.
I'm on that bandwagon. You are doing public crapping, and you're doing it in a cooler? Yeah. And look, I'll just say this. I have seen, when it comes to punishment meeting the crime, I've seen people have to deal with a lot worse when it comes to that. When it comes to the punishment not meeting the crime, this seems fair to me. Fair enough to me.
I mean, she's not even paying $160, and her only punishment is, oh, you can't go back to the scene of the crime. You know what?
Which should have been like the very least. Yeah, no, you're not welcome here.
Every sidewalk, every public park, in front of every business, her job should be you clean up all the duties that everybody's dog leaves behind for at least 1 year. And it should be encouraged in that town for people to deliberately let their dogs do their business in public areas so that she must clean it up on a daily basis because she is a terrible, terrible person.
Is she unhoused? Is this an unhoused person?
No, she is not homeless. Okay. She is just a sicko.
So an even better and more fitting punishment would be for whoever had to clean up her mess. That person should be allowed to go to wherever it is that she lives and take a dump right in her living room. Not in the bathroom, on the floor.
Oh, you're on to something.
On the floor.
What about having all unhoused people go to her house and use the living room floor?
Her living room floor becomes the unofficial unhoused bathroom?
That's it. God. That's the winner.
That's it.
Ding, 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 ding.
I am on that bandwagon.
That is about to bring a close to In the Loop as we welcome in Luke Morrow, Chris Partee in for the fellas on the drive today. Gentlemen, Happy New Year.
What's up?
Your choice, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Baltimore Ravens?
Steelers all day. For the Texans to play?
The Texans.
Yeah,
I agree.
Let's get after old man Rodgers. Send him out on his way.
Give me the Baltimore Ravens. You can throw it all over them. They can't get after the passer. They are not the Ravens that Texans fans have come to know and hate.
I want them
be afraid of. It's not that outfit anymore.
So you're not worried about the Ravens anymore?
At all.
I want them to play the Steelers.
Yeah, I just think it's a better matchup.
I want them to end Aaron Rodgers' career with extreme pain. I want to see Rodgers getting carted off the field. I want to see him with this like face mask covered in just dirt and mud and artificial turf, whatever. I want it all in his face mask.
That's the PC I know. I thought it might be, you know, new year, new you know. Same old PC.
Same old PC.
New year,
that's
same
the PC
hate.
I know and love.
He ain't never going to change.
But also, justified.
Justified.
I think PC's on the right side of history here, I will say.
Nah, B. Scott, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I feel him.
It's only sports hate. It's the only hate I practice, sports hate.
Sports hate.
But I have a lot of sports hate.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I'd much rather watch them skull drag Aaron Rodgers over Lamar Jackson. I'll give you that. So I won't be mad either way.
We can all agree on that, right?
Yes.
Agree to agree.
Well, that's interesting, though, because the Texans, despite their history with the Ravens, you'd still rather see them.
Yeah, because I don't see the history. The history is just that. It's history. All we have right now is right now. And right now, that Ravens team does not scare me at all.
But I would think you'd rather be able to take it out on them again like earlier this year as opposed to putting Rodgers into retirement, like that idea. Like get your payback on Baltimore in the playoffs.
Well, B. Scott wants Baltimore. Right?
Yeah.
He wants Baltimore.
Yeah, you want Baltimore.
Yeah, I want Baltimore.
You want Baltimore. Okay,
I want the Steelers.
PC, yeah, right.
Finish him!
I should direct
finish
that to
him
you.
Right now.
You're right. Yeah.
Speaking of being finished, B. Scott and I, our time is up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.